This natural world that we live in is filled with danger. All types of danger. Some of them much more serious than others. I don't believe anybody would deny that. And we must all learn to deal with these dangers on a regular basis as we conduct our normal schedule, whatever that schedule may be. And I believe spiritually, it's just like that. I believe there are all types of spiritual dangers around us, but by far, the greatest danger that exists is the danger of going to hell. Today, I'm going to preach a message on the hell warnings. And most of the hell warnings were given to those who had already been saved. Did you hear that? I want to emphasize that. I want to say that again. Most of the hell warnings that Jesus gave were given to those who had already been saved. So that means if you are a Christian, you can yet go to hell. If I had no other biblical evidence other than that fact, I would know that it's still possible for a Christian to go to hell. Whoever you are, wherever you live in the world that could hear my voice at this moment, please know it is still possible for you to end up in hell. You might be the strongest Christian around, and may that be the case. But folks, please know, people fall away. Look what happened to Solomon. Look what happened to the apostle Judas Iscariot. It doesn't have to happen. It never happened to Paul. The apostle Paul hung in there. You can live above sin. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to turn away. But unfortunately, many do. In fact, most of the people that I have encountered in my Christian life, from the time that I come to God to now, they have fallen away. I'm talking about most of the people that came to salvation. Afterwards, different things occurred in their life, and they fell away. These hell warnings, as you would tend to think without even looking into the scriptures, certainly some of them at least, were given to people that had never been saved. People that were serving the devil, people traveling down the road to the lake of fire. But the most shocking ones, and we'll deal with them, the most shocking ones from the Lord Jesus were the ones that could have only been given to the people that had already experienced salvation and that were in his spiritual family. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying. The reason I read that is to show you the context of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which we tend to call the Sermon on the Mount, was given to the disciples as well as crowds of people. So in other words, it would be a mixed bag. Some were saved and some were not saved. So Jesus, in this sermon, he's speaking multiple times about hell. The first time that Jesus ever used the word translated into the English hell is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Anyone who says you fool will be in the danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus said that hell is fire. There's danger involved. That means pain. That's something you want to avoid, this thing called hell and its fire. And anyone can go there because he said anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. This shows me that it's possible to go to hell through the words that you speak. Well, we know that from other verses. Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said, if you disown him before men, he'll disown you before the Father. And Peter did that with his words. So words can lead you to hell. Not just disowning Jesus. If you would violate this scripture, then you would be in the danger of the fire of hell, or Jesus was a false teacher, which we know is impossible. He is the Son of God. He died for our sins on the cross. He rose again. So what he taught here and everywhere else is 100% accurate. You can lose your salvation through your words and by saying these words, you fool, in the kind of attitude of your heart, which he speaks of here. It's probably an angry, contemptful, vicious hatred behind those words. But it is possible, according to Jesus, Matthew 5:22, to lose your salvation through the words that you would speak. And then not too many verses after that, we come to a very appropriate scripture for our pornographic day that we live in. It's Matthew 5, verse 28, all the way down to verse 30. Jesus said, I tell you, that anyone, there's that word anyone again, He's addressing this huge crowd of people, saved and unsaved, and he's telling them, anyone. So obviously, folks, that means even those who had already been saved. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So clearly Jesus is speaking right here about going to hell through lust. And anyone going to hell through lusting in the heart after somebody of the opposite sex. A man lusting after a woman or vice versa. It's adultery in the heart. There's more than one way to commit adultery. And Jesus said here, that sin will drag you to hell. If you can't get the victory over it any other way, he says, gouge your eye out. Folks, you should be able to get the victory over it. His blood cleanses and liberates from sin addiction. He's saying, gouge your eye out. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, I venture to say, of all the people that will ever hear this message, there aren't too many that are millionaires that will hear it. But if we were all millionaires, I do believe almost 100% of us would give $1 million easily to keep our right eye or to keep our right hand rather than to gouge it out or cut it off. Wouldn't you agree? Your eye is that important. Your hand is that important. Your foot is that important. And folks, he's saying avoid hell at all costs. He's saying your soul is your most valuable possession. Your soul is more valuable than having two eyes. If you have to go through this life crippled and maimed, it's better because this life is short and temporary, and in the eyes of eternity, there's no comparison. And if these things are going to lead you into sin, if that's what you got to do, if you got to go to that extreme, do it. I said, if you got to go to that extreme, I wonder how many people listening to this message realize that you might have to do some extreme things to stay pure in heart. Would you be willing to do extreme things? If Jesus stood before you right now and he said, you must get extreme about living clean and holy or you will go to hell, would you do it? I know with today's popular teaching, most would say that's legalism and heresy and cultic. But folks, I'm saying if, and I see it right here. This is shouting out to me, get extreme if you have to. Keep the sin out. You don't have to sin this way. You don't have to do that. Too many people I have encountered think that everybody is always lustful. Folks, if that was the case, then everybody would go to hell, according to this passage. This passage says lust will drag you to hell. If everybody was lustful, everybody would go to hell, according to what Jesus taught here. And notice, from Matthew 5:22, you could go to hell through your words. Here you could go to hell by lusting through your eyes. You see something with your natural eyes, you lust in your heart, you go to hell that way. Now I want to give you another scripture, which definitely, without doubt, was a hell warning directed only to those who were saved. And I'm talking about Matthew 10, verse 28. What we just seen in Matthew 5, it was given to both the saved and the unsaved. But here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, this is given without doubt to the 12 apostles. It says here, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This hell warning was given to the follower of Jesus. Those who were in the highest office of the church, placed there by the Lord Jesus. He would never place an unsaved person in that position. Never. The same ones were sent out to preach, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. They were godly people, and he told them to be afraid of God who can destroy their soul and body in hell. Now, if they couldn't go to hell, why did Jesus say this? Obviously, they can yet go to hell, and obviously, you can yet go to hell. Verse 33, Jesus said, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. That was spoken to the believer, to the Christian, to the saint, to the follower of Jesus. Notice, folks, it's the believer that disowns Jesus. The unbeliever doesn't have Jesus. He can't really disown him. He said, I will disown him before my Father in heaven if we disown him before men. This is a warning, a hell warning, or a salvation you will lose warning to people who already had salvation. And obviously, if you lose your salvation, you're back on the road to hell. And then we come to Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. This is awesome. The word hell was not mentioned here, but obviously it's referred to. And again, this is spoken clearly to the disciples, not to people that were never saved. Matthew 18, 1 through 3, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So folks, if you don't enter the kingdom of heaven, where do you go? You go to hell. Jesus gave this hell warning to the disciples. They were always trying to be first, best, only, greater than all the rest. And that was having an adverse effect upon their own heart. Jesus told him, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to become like little children, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. They were already on the road to heaven. But he knew this would take them out. This would stop them from getting in. Now Matthew 18, 1 through 3 has been butchered and mangled by every commentary I've ever seen. I don't look in commentaries anymore. At one time I did. Because this is so clearly destructive to the prevalent and almost universally accepted gospel, or should I say false gospel of eternal security, they have to somehow change this. They try to make it appear that this is given to people that were never saved, but this was spoken to people that had already been saved. Matthew 18, 1 through 3. And then just a few verses past that, again spoken to the disciples, the same group. Matthew 18, 9. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Now we just seen it in Matthew 5, where he said the same thing. Matthew 5, 29 is almost exactly identical to Matthew 18, verse 9. And we know from Matthew 5, at least part of the audience were the disciples. But this one, Matthew 18, verse 9, it could only be the disciples. So Jesus is definitely giving a hell warning to those who had already been saved, to the Christian. So that means this applies to you. Did you hear that? You can yet go to hell, according to Jesus. Jesus wants you to know you can yet go to hell. If you were ever saved or not, you can yet go to hell. You're going to have to endure to the end to be saved. You're going to have to, at the end of your life, die with a pure heart to get in the kingdom. If not, you will go to fiery torment, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. We come to Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus gave a most scathing rebuke to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. In verse 15, he said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. That's a mention of hell, referring to where these people were headed. And then in verse 33, it's even more clear. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Well, this is a hell warning specifically to those who were unsaved. Not the disciples this time, but the next time in Mark chapter 9, verse 35 again. It's the 12. We know it's the 12 because verse 35 says Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. And that is the context of verses 43, 45, and 47. In verses 43, 45, and 47, it's basically a repeat of what he already said in Matthew 5, 29, and 30. And that is, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. There it is. Your hand, your foot, your eye. Jesus said, cut it off and gouge it out. It's better for you to go through life blind, maimed, crippled, and get into the kingdom if you got to go to that extreme to prevent your soul from being defiled and put to spiritual death, then go to that extreme. spoken to the 12. That's what he said. Now, they had already come to salvation, and he's teaching here they could die spiritually. Folks, this is indirect evidence that once saved, always saved is false. It's fallacious, folks. It's not true. Just like the Bible teaches the deity of Christ with direct and indirect evidence. This is indirect evidence that once saved, always saved is a false teaching. And may I add, a damnable heresy, a horrendous lie. It has spread like gangrene to the eternal damnation of people around the world. And then we come to Luke chapter 12. Verse 1, this is spoken to the saved and the lost. Listen, Luke 12, 1 shows, spoken to the saved and the lost. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands gathered so that they were trampling one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So the point I'm trying to make is, it's a mixed crowd, saved and lost. So what did he say here about hell? Look at verses 4 and 5. He said, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those that kill the body, and after that can do no more, but I will show you to whom you are to fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now we know this at least pertains to those that were already saved, because it's a parallel teaching to Matthew 10 verse 28, which could only be to the saved. So again, this hell warning, folks, was given to the Christian. Most don't recognize that. They think hell warnings were only given to people that were never saved. That's not true. Most of the hell warnings that Jesus gave were given to people who had already come to salvation. And then we come to Luke 16. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up, saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus by his side. That's verse 23. That's a most unusual reference of hell. Jesus taught in Luke 16 that there was a dialogue that actually occurred on the other side of the grave. So there's no soul sleep. Abraham was conversing with the rich man that went to hell. He was a Jewish man. And it's all recorded right there in the Bible. And that man that was in the torments and the fire of hell requested that his brothers be sent a hell warning. He knew they needed to repent. He knew that repentance would prevent one from going to hell. Now, however religious he was when he was physically alive, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But it does say that he knew at that point why he was in hell. It's implied. He knew then he needed to repent, but he didn't. Somehow he was walking in deception. Maybe he thought he had done that one time in his life. He didn't have to do that now. And he had sin in his life, and he was actually on the road to hell, and apparently didn't recognize the danger he was in. The greatest danger that exists is going to hell. And Jesus taught in Luke 16 that it's a place of torment and fire on the other side of the grave. Hell is not this side of the grave. Hell is on the other side of the grave. Hell is forever. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, folks. But people will be there too. In fact, Jesus said most people will go to hell. Did you hear that? Jesus said most will go to hell and the minority will escape hell and enter the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus repeatedly spoke of hell. And most of his hell warnings, most were given to those who were already saved. If you're a Christian, did you ever get a hell warning directed at you? Folks, it's right here in the Bible. Take this to heart. It's real. You can yet go to hell. And then, obviously, we're living in such a deceptive time when people like to mangle the word of God and make excuses for sin. And that's what the grace changers do. They're always trying to make excuses for sin. They would probably say something like, "Well, all that was before the cross. Before the cross of Calvary." Well, folks, John 3:16 was before the cross. How about when Jesus spoke with Nicodemus, said you must be born again? That was before the cross. There's all kind of wonderful teachings in the Gospels before the cross. What are you going to do? Dump them all because you don't like the hell warnings given to Christians? Folks, his word is forever settled. It's true, it's relevant, it pertains to you. You can yet go to hell. But for the diehards out there, they would say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jesus' teachings before the cross are for me today. I only accept what the Apostle Paul taught. And there are some people that are like that. I've run into a few. Well, if that's the case, let me draw your attention to Galatians 5:19 through 21. The Apostle Paul here, he cites a number of sins. They're listed here. And then at the end, in verse 21, he said, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The context is very clear. He's speaking to the churches in the region of Galatia. He's saying explicitly, I warn you. I'm warning you in the church that if you live like this, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, as I did before, he warned them this way before, and now he's warning them again about the dangers of sin, that sin will drag a Christian to hell. So that proves to me your future sins are not already forgiven before you commit them. It proves to me that God can see your sins. The grace changers invent these fairy tales, these fine-sounding fairy tales. And they say things like, well, when God looks at you, all he can see is the blood. All he can see is the cross. All he can see is Jesus. He really can't see your sins. All he can see is grace. All he can see is his mercy. All he sees is his love. Well, folks, that's a lie. Paul said these sins will damn you to hell. What did he say? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Did you hear that? Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, if you don't inherit the kingdom of God, you'll go to hell. This is a hell warning that Paul, the grace teacher, repeatedly gave to those who had already been saved, thereby showing he did not believe once saved, always saved either. Nobody did in the Bible. That's an invention of the devil. It's a doctrine of demons. And then we have quite a few hell warnings in the book of Hebrews. We come to chapter 6. Land that drinks in rain, often falling on it and produces a crop useful for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of being cursed, and in the end it will be burned. Even though we speak this way, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. The analogy is land being cursed and burned, land that would have rain falling on it and having an opportunity to bring forth fruit, but it doesn't. And the subject is salvation, we know from verse 9. And when he said, even though we speak this way, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, that is considered something that we might say in our day, a pastoral encouragement, pastoral comfort. But folks, just keep reading a couple more verses, and you'll know that he's not saying that's a guarantee that you won't lose your salvation, because verses 11 and 12 say, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. What hope? It's talking about salvation. We don't want you to become lazy. Notice you can. It's a possibility that Christians could become lazy. And if they would, they would therefore not be imitating those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So, an indirect hell warning, even though hell is not mentioned. It's referred to a couple times. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, especially verses 1 and 2, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation of disobedience received as just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Folks, this was written to people that had already experienced salvation. They would drift away, like being in a boat. If you don't exert effort, you don't even stay where you were. You'll lose ground. It's that intense of a battle. You got to exert effort, spiritual effort, just to stay even, much less to make progress. You're not going to escape if we ignore such a great salvation. That scripture has often been used and given to people that were never saved. But folks, this was initially given to people that had already been saved. And we come over to other scriptures that speak of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. And then after the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus himself said in Revelation chapter 2, 10 and 11. Now he's speaking to the seven churches in Asia here in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And he said in verses 10 and 11, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. So Jesus is telling people who had already been saved, they could go to hell. To prevent going to hell, they're going to have to do what? Be faithful even to the point of death. And if they are, they'll get the crown of life, and they won't get hurt by the second death. The second death is another name for the lake of fire. He told them not to be afraid that they're going to suffer. They're going to go to prison. It's going to be a test. Now, folks, these things happen between initial and final salvation. All kind of horrible things happen. And that's why I said earlier, most of the people that I've encountered that come to salvation have fallen away. They can't handle it, especially with today's teachings. They're not hearing the truth. They've been told God is holding them. God's keeping them. They're guaranteed an entrance into the kingdom of God. And folks, exactly the opposite is what is taught. Jesus said, Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, only hold on to what you have until I come. Jesus told them to hold on. Hold on to what you have. They had something to hold on to. It was their responsibility to hold on to it. In Revelation 3:11, similarly, Jesus said, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. That's what we need to do. That's what you need to do. Many have not done that, and someone has come along and taken their crown. They've lost their salvation, maybe through their family, their ungodly family members, maybe ungodly friends, quote unquote, which would really be enemies. If your so-called friend was hurting you spiritually, folks, he's an enemy. He's not a friend. Look the definition of a friend up. That person is an enemy doing you the worst harm that you could get. He's an instrument of the devil. Your soul is your most precious possession. And then after all that, Jesus said this to a different church group. Revelation 3:15 and 16. Well, let me back up to verse 14. He said, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus gave a hell warning here. If you get spit out of the mouth of Jesus, you're spit out of his body. If you're spit out of the body of Christ, you don't have salvation. If you don't have salvation, you'll go to hell. This time over lukewarmness. Did you hear that? Something that would happen gradual. Like we've seen over in Hebrews chapter 2. It was a slow drifting away. Sometimes falling away and spiritual death can happen quickly, abruptly. Like when Peter disowned Jesus. So Jesus gave hell warnings to those who had already been saved both before and after the cross. It didn't make a bit of difference, folks. Not a bit of difference did it make. This side of the cross or the other side. The saved got hell warnings from Jesus. Now I want to give you a little glimpse into the future about all this. Listen to this. If you want to know the future, don't go to Edgar Cayce. Don't go to Nostradamus or a psychic. Go to the Bible. The Bible will give you an accurate glimpse into the future. In Matthew 13, 41 and 42, Jesus said, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. He will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, who's going to go to the fiery furnace? Hell is not used here, but its synonym is. Notice there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And who's going there? Everything that causes sin and all do evil. So if you are described like that, you're going to be there too. Did you hear that? You will be there too, according to what Jesus taught. We come to Jude 7. It's referred to again, indirectly, not by name, but really that's the essence of it. It's taught. It says, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So folks, in Genesis 18, when God rained down burning sulfur out of heaven on the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, and those people died, they went to hell, according to Jude verse 7. The Sodomites went to hell. It was perversion, according to this. It was sexual immorality, according to this. And they're suffering the punishment of eternal fire, even as you hear at this moment this message. In James chapter 4, verse 4, you can become an enemy of God by becoming a friend of this world. If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. Did you hear that? Are you willing to risk your relationship with God to cure your loneliness, to have a friendship with his enemies, to fraternize with the enemy. Ponder James 4:4. Memorize it. That's not me teaching. That's what the Bible says. That's the Holy Spirit through the pen of James. Now, folks, I don't know. It's not clear. But I think maybe, and now notice I said maybe. Maybe the reason why most of the hell warnings were given to those who had already been saved is because it's worse to go back after you came to salvation than if you never knew about salvation at all and end up in hell. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22, if they had escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. They are worse off, it says. Worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. And then the very last warning we have in the entire Bible is a hell warning. Many types of warnings relevant to different types of dangers, but the greatest danger is hell. And repeatedly, Christians are warned about the danger of hell, and that's the case right here. The very last one is directed to Christians. In Revelation 22:19, if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. God's going to take it away from you. So you got it. It's yours now. If you do this wrong thing, he's going to take what is yours now, your share in the tree of life and the holy city, away from you. And if that happens, there's only one other place to go, the lake of fire. You can yet go to hell. John taught it, Paul taught it, most importantly, Jesus taught it. And the other disciples, they taught it as well. So folks, there's all kind of dangers in the natural. And there's all kind of dangers in the spiritual. But there's no greater danger than the danger of hell. Repeatedly, there are hell warnings all throughout the Bible. Old Testament as well as New. More in the New Testament than Old, though. More in the New. And most of the hell warnings Jesus gave were directed to those who had already been saved. And similarly, most of the ones that are found in the epistles, if not all, I never examined them, but you would tend to think since the epistles were written to the believer, they would all be given directly to those who had already been saved. You could go to hell over lukewarmness, fruitlessness, unforgiveness, disowning Jesus during persecution, not bringing forth fruit, lust, hatred. If you're preaching a false gospel according to Galatians 1:8-9, let such a person be anathema or accursed of God, which means you'll go to hell. And you can also go to hell, as I said before, by becoming a friend of this world. You don't have to go to hell. If you're backslid now, repent. Come to God, come back to salvation like the prodigal. He wants you back. Come back home to the Father. Turn away from the sin. Get back on the road to life. Get back in the battle. Folks, there's something so great it's a mind blow. What is held out for you and I? You can sit right next to God Almighty on his throne with him. Rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is inconceivable at this moment. We're talking about something big that will stretch into all eternity. This is not a dry run, a practice run. This is not a practice drill. This isn't the first try that really doesn't count. You'll have a chance a second, third time until you get it right. This is it for all eternity. Don't mess this one up. You mess things up in your life like everybody has. Don't mess this one up. Don't take a chance with it. You can yet go to hell. You can yet go to hell. Hell warnings were given to those who had never come to salvation and to those who had. Don't play with sin. The Bible says, give the devil no spot. Give no place to evil. Come out from among them and be separated. And it says, keep yourself pure. It says to hold on. It says to keep yourself and be faithful to the point of death. Hallelujah, glory to God. You got exciting times before you. If you're one of them that's described as he who overcomes. He who overcomes. It must be something to overcome. It wasn't just Jesus that overcame. Some would say, well, he overcame for us on the cross. Yes, you're absolutely right. He died for everyone. He did. But you got to overcome too, according to Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3. He said, for him who overcomes. And that was spoken to people that had already experienced initial salvation. In other words, they had already been born again. God bless you.